The enemy knows that people who can read and write and apply knowledge will grow. People who can't read and write and comprehend, they can't apply knowledge, they will not grow. No growth leads to death.
Right.
How y'all doing today?
Pretty good.
Because see, a lot of people aren't disciplined. And we're all being disciplined. Notice the Bible says, Jesus says, you are my disciples. That in of itself goes over people's mind because they don't know what a disciple is. Huh? But you got a dictionary at your house. You got a Bible at your house. And you don't look at your dictionary to break words down. Because you're lazy.
I heard.
And you can't walk in. Say, can't walk in. God loves y'all with everything. I don't know of anybody who will kill who will kill their children because of us.
Okay.
I don't care if you was the bestest of the best. Y'all ain't gonna kill y'all children for me.
The bestest?
The bestest.
But God killed. The Bible says God took Jesus. Jesus said, you don't take my life. I give my life for the saints, for the world. So what I'm going to do today, so we're talking about doctrine. Titus says, teach those things that are sound what?
Doctrine.
Teach those things. When you said sound, you're saying it's tight. It's accurate. It's specific. It can be trusted. You follow me? And we need to understand that I wrote some things down because I'm trying to bring the Word of God into modern day. When I say modern day, into 21st century term, so to speak, the Bible applies to any generation. But it is the application so that the generation can understand it. Do you follow what I'm saying, sis? One of the things I get a thrill out of is working with the young men that we have been working with over at 4Play. And these young high school kids are getting inspired by this Word of God. Amen. Men. And I'm believing, just like was prophesied over Pastor Reed and I in Orlando, by the eagle-eyed prophetess, Novi Sellers, who said, men are coming to this house.
Amen.
It's going to be men in this house.
Amen.
The enemy didn't want to hear that. He's fighting it tooth and nail. That's why we have to pray.
Amen.
Man, God don't, Satan don't want men who are loving God's moving and operating in the technology of heaven. I was just thinking about this as Katrina was singing. I said, we really don't understand it. There's a gap between teaching and application. Do you know singing is a technology? Let's talk about it. What do we mean when we say technology? A science or knowledge applied practically to solve problems or invent useful tools. Another thing I say, tools or solutions, useful solutions. Because a tool is a technology or a device that makes work easier, didn't it? So, technology, the science or knowledge applied practically to solve problems or invent useful tools. What was the other one that's going to figure out already?
Solutions.
Come on, sir. Come on. That's what I'm talking about. What's up there, scholar? Useful tools and solutions. Another question, another definition, is machinery or equipment developed for application of scientific knowledge. All right? Say the Bible.
Is
kingdom technology.
It's kingdom technology.
Say it's kingdom technology.
It's kingdom technology.
What do you mean? It's knowledge that can be applied practically to solve problems or invent useful tools and solutions. Say God's word.
God's word.
Say Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Is the word of God.
Is the word of God.
Tell me he was a knowledge practically applied to solve a problem, which was our eternal damnation. Hmm? To remove the penalty. Say remove the penalty.
Remove the penalty.
That we have on our lives. What's that penalty? You have been what? Convicted of sin and you have been assigned to death. We're going to go to Romans. And there are three types of knowledge I want you, so you'll get a root, the root definition of where this thing comes from is root. Episteme.
What's this, that Greek? Or like
that's Greek. These are Greek words. Okay. Episteme means to know, to develop, to expose, to analyze. That's the term that they use in modern day Greek for science. At least you already took the picture. You don't have to write this down. Did you take a picture of it?
Yeah.
So you don't have to write it down. You got a picture of it.
To
know, to understand. I couldn't put it all down. But since y'all asking, I'm going to give you the full Monty. Hallelujah. Okay? Episteme. Yeah, to develop, to understand.
Analyze.
You follow what I'm saying? You can also put in it to break down. To understand. To break down, to understand. The second form of knowledge is techne. Techne. See, every English word that you see has an origin somewhere other than the United States. Most of our language comes from Greek and Latin. Okay? A lot of the Greek words, particularly the Bible, comes from Hebrew. You follow me? And as you can see, one word in English can have several words in Latin or Greek. You follow me? So the Greek words for knowledge, episteme, meaning science, in a nutshell, because that's what everything is that you just read. Science gives you the ability to know. It's Rachel.
Does the word epistle come?
Yes, it does.
Because it's to develop.
Yes, it's like to know. To reveal knowledge.
How do you
spell
epistle?
Epistle, E-P-I-S-T-L-E. So techne, glory to God, it means craftsmanship or to craft, to build. And it's oriented for production, to produce something. Delicia works at Popeyes. All of the technology that she has there is for the production of chicken.
Yes.
You follow me? The technology there is for the production of chicken, the processing of money. You understand what I'm saying? That's what that technology is sent there to do. That they might be what? Production and profit oriented. You gotta produce X amount of X pieces of chicken. They probably do about
thousands of pieces of chicken a day.
Yeah.
Roman. And efficiently. And it wasn't always that way. Because guess what happened? It probably started cooking in a bowl, in a pot. Mm-hmm. Then it went to a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
Then it went to a bigger pressure cooker. Yeah. Then they got a quicker technology. Because technology is always what? It's advancing. Because once you get to a certain level of skill, guess what? You progress to another. Because you're always trying to be more efficient. Now we're trying to be more efficient. You're trying to get things done at a quicker pace. Which means you can do more than you did before. You follow me? All right? Say technique. The other one is phronesis.
Phronesis.
Phronesis. Phronesis. PH. PH is the F sound. Fro. F. PH fro. Phronesis. Which is practical wisdom. Which is wisdom that can be used. Say used. All of this points to the word. Every piece of it. If it's oriented, because people look at words like technology, they don't even think about the Bible. Technology. Let me give you a definition of science, because I think this is going to help you too. Everybody got this?
Yes.
Let me do this. This might be easier if I did it this way. Because I know, Josh, you can't even see me from right there. I'm in your way, aren't I?
Yeah.
I got to let the only brother in the house see. Which is to be practically applied to help us solve problems and invent useful tools and solutions in our lives. Okay? It's also machinery or equipment developed for application of what? Scientific knowledge. Say application.
Application.
Of scientific knowledge.
Of scientific knowledge.
Do you know scientists have studied music? They have studied. Glory to God. Get this for you. They've studied tongues.
To see what it does to the brain? Like the activity in the brain?
To see what it does, period. You follow me? Because it's something to it. And the one who did it was a medical doctor who's a Christian. Because if it's in the Bible, guess what? It can be tested. You follow what I'm saying? Say it can be tested. So check this out. I'm gonna read it to you just like I got it. Singing the Bible. The benefits of this discipline releases healing and other promises. That's a technology. Because what is it doing? It's solving a problem. We'll give you a perfect example. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Spirit was on Saul, called David with this kinnor, which is a harp. 10-string instrument. David started playing this instrument, and the Bible says the Spirit lifted off of Saul. What's that saying about your anointing? David is singing and playing an instrument. He's not a normal man. He's a new breed of humanity. He has the Spirit of God, what?
In him.
And what?
On him.
Because see, the Spirit of God didn't dwell in human beings. It came upon human beings. Do you follow what I'm saying? So this young man who has such a relationship with God, say relationship. Because what it shows us is this. If the yoke-destroying power of God was on David to break the spiritual, the bondage of Saul, then God must be with David. What's that mean? God can be with some and not with others. God could be with David, who was a Jew, and not be with his brothers. You follow what I'm saying? So it's the intimacy with God. It's you creating space for God that gives God's permission to spend time with you. And, say and. Your life will reflect that.
Amen.
Y'all hear me up again?
Yes, sir.
So what does that do? Glory to God. It makes us realize the value of our consecration. What's that mean? If you don't value consecration, what's consecration? Setting yourself aside. That's what it means to consecrate. C-O-N-S-E-C-R-A-T-E. Consecrate. Glory to God. I want y'all to read this scripture. Because Rachel, when you were talking about it, I went to it. Because it applies to everything in our lives. People think worship is something you only do when you come to church. Go to somebody get 1 Corinthians chapter 10 for me. Verse 31.
10:31?
Some people be right around thinking,
when I increase in the God, I ain't doing nothing for God.
Everything you do is supposed to be for the Father. If you do that, we will be cussing so many people out.
Yes, sir. I can drop it. My God.
I was reading in the Bible and he says, Jesus was saying, can bitter and sweet come from the same tree? Can bitter and sweet come from the same tree? Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me and I abide in you. Then the Father says this. You know why there's a duality in the body of Christ? Because people keep going back to the old, and out of the old is where the pollution is. And when they go to the old, they run from me. Because there's two living issues going on in this body. You be a new breed. What makes you a new breed? The Spirit of God in you. But the old is still alive if you don't consider it dead. You follow me? So the reason you cussing is because the old you has been given strength to live. And the new Christ has been snuffed out. Do you see that? That's how a same body, out of the same body, can come cussing and blessing. Because one has not died to the old and given permission to the old to live. But has snuffed out the new, the Jesus. The Holy Spirit, that's Jesus in you, have put him in a cage so that the old can live.
Right.
That's how out of the same cistern can come blessings and curses. You follow that? And Paul says to consider yourself, you have been crucified. Colossians, what? In Christ. So the Father says, most Christians have considered themselves dead. They value their ugly old life. Follow me. So, what God is, and listen, the Father says through Jesus and Matthew, examine yourself. So I won't have to examine you. Do you follow me? And what is he saying? A self-examined person would not have to worry about judgment at the day of judgment. Because an examining person becomes self, say self, transforming. Do you follow that? In essence, nobody don't have to tell you to change. You change it automatically because as soon as something is off, you adjust.
Right.
Huh? Because, and the self-examination cannot happen properly until you walk in unity with the Word and the Holy Spirit and count yourself not worthy to live. Mm-hmm. Notice this. Because Jesus said this, glory to God, Father, if it be thy will, take this yoke from me. Which was a reasonable, very reasonable request, considering Jesus knew full well what crucifixion was.
Right.
But he said, nevertheless, not my will. What's the principle? John said, I must decrease that he might increase. Which means I got to die in order to do this. So what happens is Satan comes to agitate the old. Say, wake him up. And when you don't have the Word in you, you ain't spending time with the Word, no time with the Father, you ain't singing unto the Lord. All of these things, say portals. Because you're not applying the technology, which is the solution to your pollution. See, it's the technology. What's the tech? The Word of God. Amen. We're going to be reading in Romans chapter 1, where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto what? Salvation. What salvation? That is saving me from the penalty of sin and the judgment of God that is coming. As a matter of fact, somebody says the wrath of God. And if you've ever read about God in the Old Testament, when God is mad, whoo, it ain't all hell breaking loose. Hell running when God mad.
Right.
Hell, I run you. You understand? Because them angels can move at the speed. Them devils can move. So when the wrath of God comes, hell is running. Because God see, they know God get ready to wipe everything out.
Right.
God says they're going to throw your flesh going to be spewed around like doo-doo. They're going to kill your children. God says they're going to kill everything because you have 40 years to get your life together. And your children are as bad as you. God says, get rid of all of them. People say, God is mean. No, no, no. God says, I gave you a lifetime to get you and your children together. Now your children are grown up and they worse than you. I'm going to get rid of all y'all and I'll start all over again. Because you had time. Isn't that what he did? He wiped out everybody but Noah and his three sons. And their what? Their wives. And he started all over with eight people. And eight, number of new beginnings. The ending of a thing is always the beginning of another. God said, I'm going to get rid of that. Well, he said, God said, every thought in the imagination is wicked. Now check this out. So God said, everything they're thinking about consistently is wicked. In essence, God is saying, they don't even have a mindset to even include me in their thought process. So if you're to the point where all you think about is wickedness, how you can do this, how you can have sex with this, how you can cheat that, how you, all this, God said, their whole being was simply about wickedness. He said, I'm going to get rid of every one of them. And he says, how did you prove Noah? For 120 some years, this man built an ark. Read it. Being ridiculed. Talked about. And from their standpoint, Negro, you've been building this for, when it gonna rain, Noah? And when you gonna rain? Now, see, people live 900, 700, 600 years by then.
That's right. Same thing going on.
Do you see what I'm saying? People live a long time. So they're looking at him and saying, look at that fool, he's still building an ark.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's coming along real good. Yes, Sister Katrina.
Can I just go as far as saying, like, that's totally like as you're talking, that's exactly what I'm seeing of what the people mindset is today. Y'all been saying Jesus coming for I don't know how long.
they wide open. They wide open, Katrina. Wide open. Nobody running after God. See, but God said, all right, I got somebody. Hey, look at God. He put this big old boat. Now notice, Noah's boat, no one had ever built anything that large before. As a matter of fact, if you study aeronautical engineering, naval engineering, the exact dimensions of Noah's Ark, those proportions, are used to build every ship since. See, God's technology works in the world system. See, God's technology, see, people have not ignored God's technology. What is happening is people have not taught people that it's God's technology.
True.
Because there are people in the know, say people in the know. They know that we build boats in the proportion that God designed it. Oh, Noah's Ark, that's just mythology and fables. New Bible followers, they're really about silly stuff. But scientific people are applying the principles already.
Right.
Do you follow what I'm saying? And see, the problem with the body, leadership, we have not taught it to the extent that people can grasp it. We've given them another gospel. Let's make them happy so they'll keep coming. Let's preach them happy so they'll keep giving the money. Let's keep them walking in ignorance so they can't check us. And God says, I'm going to burn that down too. Tired of it. So you saw during the pandemic, like 85 bishops dead? Dying like flies. And some people, they ain't even got sick and boom, they over it. God is trying to get people's attention. Because he can't keep on living like you're living. And I'm not going to allow it. I'm going to let. And see, God cares about the world. Who's got 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 31? Supplies is what we're talking about right here. Who's got it?
So then, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Whoa, 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 whoa. You mean eating brings glory to God?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What's that? Can I break that down?
Yes, sir.
Huh? Are you just eating to be eaten? Can I say that?
Yes.
You know you need to change your eating habits, but you still eat. I do everything. I'll do this for you. I'll do this for you. But God ain't gonna give you my eating habits. Won't buy new clothes, but you can, because you can't lose no weight. My God, come on, I ain't trying to be funny. I'm just telling the truth, y'all. I'm just telling the truth. Now she's delighting you. He who knoweth to do and doeth it not, it is sin. God says, you know that you overweight. You know that you need to eat. You anorexic. You won't eat. Talking about you got to maintain a certain lifestyle and you about to die because you ain't eating nothing. Or you go eat, you go eat, they go eat, then they go purge. Like they had an epiphany. I gotta go get rid of this. Called binging. So you got both things in spectrum. And the Father says, you know, and you won't even bring it to me like I can't see you trudge over there. You won't even give that to me. I remember about 10 years ago, I never thought about it. Kenneth Copeland's daughter was on TV saying, God, I was telling God, I can't lose this weight. And she was crying, and the Lord says, why won't you ask me for help? Everything but certain things God can't help you with. But the Father says, all things are possible with me. See, we hear, but it doesn't get here.
Yeah.
Huh? It'll hit here for, but it will never drop down here. If it doesn't drop down here, it's just a word that really has no power. Mm-hmm. Because the word cannot move in your life until you apply it to your life.
Right.
Kingdom technology. Knowledge applied practically. Say practically.
Right.
When you say practical, what are you talking about? I can put it to work. Because I can see it. Huh? So God says, even my church won't even believe me for the things that they have issues with. Because, you know, we prioritize, well, I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. God says, you're acting just like a worldly person. So now you're saying, good things override the bad. I do enough good things, I do live for here before the bad. God says, didn't I tell you the small foxes spoil the vine? The stuff you don't think, that's the stuff that the devil gonna use to take you out.
Right.
So as Rachel was saying, in that you eat and what? Drink. You know some Christians struggle right now because they want to drink and say, show me something in the Bible that tells me I can't drink. The fact that you got to look for something in the Bible to stop you from doing something that you like.
That's what they're being doing.
That and your children, see, your children watch what you do. You trying to come out, I'm trying to live a godly life in front of my people, but your children's going to be an alcoholic because, yeah, I see you serving God, but I see you drinking everything. In the bar, you got Tanqueray, you got Gilby's, you got Seagram's. Oh, boy, man, you got some Jack Daniels. You got some Coors. But you go to church every Sunday saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And the devil using your children said, I'll make alky out of them. You see, where the oil is, the devil won't come show up. If I can't get you, I'm going to get your children. Had a brother in the church, my old church. Oh, I'm going to drink everything I want to. You can't tell me I can't drink. It's in the Bible. Jesus said, hey, it's no prohibition. He said, don't you get drunk. But what's your tolerance level?
Ouch.
You see, you got to understand the time in which Jesus lived. It was better to drink wine than it was to drink water. You didn't have aqueducts like you got right now. You had to drink water from streams. People pissing in water. Because ain't no toilet rooms like that. People washing their cows. Cows defecating in water. Everything in the water. So you're looking at two different times. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And the Bible says this. Anything that overtakes you is master over you. Anything you can't say no to is master over you. And Jesus says, there should be only one master, and that's me. You follow what I'm saying? You follow me? What's the purpose of technology? What's the purpose of kingdom technology? To bring together tools to promote development, use, and information exchange with the objective to make a task easier and the solving of many problems of mankind. The book of Ephesians says it's the church to reveal to the principalities and the powers the manifold wisdom of God, Ephesians chapter 3. It's the church's responsibility. What's the manifold wisdom, the technology of heaven? The church is supposed to bring that to the principalities and the powers. Why? Because principalities and powers rule the earth. Scripture says in the book of Ephesians, we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. So who's our wrestling with? Most Christians scared of it. Because they haven't been taught that they have authority. Scared. The young brother came in and said, Pastor John,
So when I read the word, I'm feeling the presence. I say, huh? You know the presence of God? He said, I'm feeling the presence. I say, do you recognize? And he says, not oppressive. It's not the presence as he's fearful of. And he says, I see something. When I look, it disappears. I say, have you ever heard of a guardian angel? See, some saints, they can't even. I ain't never seen no angel. Does that mean because you didn't see it, they don't exist? And how do you know God's using this to get his attention? Jesus told Thomas something Christians fail to understand. Blessed are those, Thomas, who didn't see and believe. If you got to see to believe, God, Jesus said, you can't walk faithfully in the word. If I say I'm assigning angels to you, you should believe that and expect that everybody should go, you got a guardian angel walking with you, whether you see him or not. So what Jesus was saying, Thomas, the greater faith is this, reading and not having to see. Doing and not having a manifestation. Recognizing that what the word says is true. Amen. Most people don't recognize. Thomas ministered to Africa. Thomas ministered to Northern Africa, where he was killed for taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. The one who says, I won't believe him until I can put my hand in his and into his feet and into his side. And Jesus says, Thomas, come in. And he says, blessed are those. What? Who haven't seen, but yet believe. So you see the technology that God's trying to tell us? The word should be enough for you. My word should be enough. Whether you see angels or not, my word should be enough. And I believe you still don't see them. Glory to God. Yes, or
Do you know some churches actually put all the angels and hold on a person is crying, and this saint is told her, and said, whoop that baby.
Well, what do you, how does that apply to what you learn here?
I'm just saying, like, holy church, they did with me child would make, God proud of you. But we would be saying, like, God would never whoop a child. And then his dad, they did never, he gave me the bell, and her just whooped with it. And this church smiled, and he's like,
you know what? God tells parents to whoop the children. You ever read that in the Bible? Mess you up in it. Because your mama be wearing you out. You trying to get some relief, huh?
Well,
Spanking is a technology from heaven. Okay. That's a technology from heaven. Spanking is a technology from heaven. Now, the children who do right don't get no spankings. What? What's the Bible says? Spare the rod, you will spoil that child. Why? Because you let his selfish desires, what? Rule and reign. Which means when he goes out into the real world, he won't respect authority. And the world will take him out. Because the world don't love you, your children, like you love them. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
The Bible says, hey, God will use the warriors. What does he say? Romans chapter 13. All authority has been established by God. See, if people really understood the technology of heaven, they would be praying for the policeman. And God will do the rest. Because the policemen are under God's authority. You're going to be tearing up stuff just like they did in the devil. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And if the saints will operate, say operate. Because they out there saying no justice, no peace. And who's the just one? Do you understand what I'm saying? But if I go out in the street and say that, somebody try to beat me behind.
Yeah.
Because it's not the spirit of the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's the spirit of the enemy, the prince of the power of the air, who's working in the system.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the very ones that's supposed to deal with that have not been taught. You mean?
In accordance to what you're saying, what you just had finished saying, I was watching a movie, and it pretty much showed that dynamic that you're saying, where, like, you know, us experienced people, where they showed a recording of, you know, the police beating on the innocent person, but really, it was a script, like, it was, like, they were playing it out, and they recorded and sent it, and they were pretty much saying, like, you can manipulate society just by the image that you give them.
Absolutely.
In such a small...
Snippet. Exactly.
And so...
So they don't give you the context. Right. They give you one component
right.
of the context.
And so the head of the policemen were actually the ones in... Like, the one in charge knew about it, but everybody else was like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe this is happening, and so all these protests are happening, and they're, like, trying to get reform. And so it was a political way to get what the higher person wanted, trying to manipulate everybody's emotions and focus on that. And so everybody on the back end is thinking that that's the issue, when really the higher up person is really just trying to steal money from the bank.
Absolutely.
And during these riots, you guys don't notice, but they're in the banks. Stealing money is placed you. But your focus is here, and they're like working everything in the back. So it's very interesting on how you're saying, like, our focus is on what the news media is feeding us, but little do we know, everything on the back end is being sold.
They don't care about your black lives because they know you're emotional and you're destructive, because that's what poor people do. These people know us. They've been studying us for years. Why is it that they only do things to what? Mess us up. Because they know we go crazy. If a man is running at you with a knife, he's bigger than you, and you got a gun, you gonna let him stab you?
No.
Why is it? Because it will be to me, like Dr. King says, don't be in a position, don't even give them the impression that you committed a crime. So when the injustice is done, it will be like Jesus said, they're going to come and they're going to attack you because you're part of me. But let them attack you with this premise. That is simply this. You did no wrong. Because eventually.
Eventually.
People with consciousness will begin to deal with that.
Right.
See, Dr. King was motivated by the Spirit of God. And all of those who protested in accordance to his process and protocol, it was godly. And that process touched America, who wasn't even living in the South, and said, that's wrong. So Jews and white men start coming out, Jewish women and Italian white women start coming to the South, because what them white people are doing is not what we white people agree with, because that's not of God. So all this stuff that Satan is using, and God, Satan is using not only African Americans, but he's using manipulated white people who have hearts that what they see and what they want to happen is right, but the method is wrong. And the reason it's being done is to get that orange dude out of the office. Because the orange dude, whether people like it or not, the orange dude has been put there by the master. Now, this is what people are. I can't stand him. I hate him. I don't like him. And the father says, didn't I not tell you to judge by the outer?
Yeah.
He said, judge by what he's doing.
Thank you.
Did he not make Israel
Jerusalem's the capital. When that's what scripture said. But y'all don't know the Bible well enough to even need it. Can't argue the point. Secondly, where you get your resources from? You listen to one station that hated. No. Tell you where they are. CNN. That's from the Communist News Network. CBS. I call CBS. All right, let me say that. Let me do that. But you listen to CBS, CNN, ABC, NBC, MSNBC. They're saying the same thing. Herschel Walker, who was a football player for the University of Georgia, played professionally with several teams, has been a friend of Donald Trump for 30 years, says, I led six women to change their mind and go vote for Trump yesterday. You know what they've never seen? They never seen anything that said he gave money to the black colleges. They never saw anything about it because they never published it. Do you know what they can do to make you do what they want you to do? Not show you truth, but give you what they think is. Now, they'll give you what they know isn't true so you can get all emotional and they can build a case for themselves that you will believe that he's all this. And God said, I am with you. Now, CNN, which has 70% of their staff homosexual or lesbian or LGBT. Do you think they think God is the way to follow?
Nope.
And you got black people over here fussing about, we don't like him. You want to pay more taxes? You are. Oh, but he said they're going to only give the money to tax those $400,000 or more. So what you think? You ain't going to pay no taxes? Because they're going to drop it all down to you. You're going to pay the taxes. Joe said, I'm going to tax you. Joe said, I'm going to get, if he takes away the tax cut, then you got to pay the tax up. So your money ain't going to go as far. And if you got to pay, they got to pay somebody $15 an hour, you might not be working at the fast food joint no more. Because you don't produce $15 worth an hour worth of benefit. People don't think, they don't understand economics. But poor people don't understand. Some middle class folks don't understand. When the money comes to the top and they ain't changed the tax code, 50 Cent can sit up and say, F the president, but watch and see who he vote for.
Okay.
He want his money. And he ain't gonna vote for somebody that's gonna raise his taxes, which means he gonna bring home less money.
Right. What's the tax code?
What's the tax code?
Yeah, he said
tax code defines what you will pay in taxes. Mm-hmm. There are brackets. Mm-hmm. Three brackets. You make a certain amount of money. Okay. So what happened? How do you get a tax break? He took certain things away from you and gave certain things on the tax, quote unquote, tax credits, so that you won't have to pay as much tax as you paid before. First of all, he reduced the rate of your being taxed. Most people don't even know where to go find that. See, you perish because of a lack of, what's that mean? You can be manipulated. In essence, you're voting for someone who ultimately is going to take you out because you don't have the wherewithal to even know how they're going to take you out. In essence, what they're saying is they're so dumb they don't even know how we get them to vote against themselves. Really? If you don't know, you don't know you've been played. You don't have a clue. And you could be manipulated every what? Political season, you could be manipulated. Because they only talk to you. They only talk to you. They only spend time manipulating you at that time of the season.
Yeah.
So what you're seeing is my people are perishing because of lack of knowledge. Satan's coming to steal, to kill, and to do what? Destroy. We're creating. It is. You vote for policy. You don't vote based upon a person's quote unquote personality. A man could come up to you and say, "What are you doing? My name is Reggie Goff. I need your vote. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do that for you. And I got some good things set up for you." And you say, "Oh, he's so nice. I'm going to take, I'm going to take everything she got. She didn't even have a clue."
Right.
So
it'll be appropriate for me to say,
right.
You follow me?
Yeah.
But no, everybody in your group like, "Girl, what's your problem? Right. That man of us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Who you think you are?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Get out of here. You follow me? Because we have a tendency to turn on folks who might be telling the truth, but they don't align with us.
Yeah.
Kick you out the family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The excommunicate you.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
It's literally like a gay. Yes, because if you don't agree with their certain concepts,
they will kick you out.
And can't tell you, and you can't talk to them edgewise because they're emotional. They don't deal with facts.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, how you know that's right? Well, how do you know what your boy says is right?
There you go.
Oh, I got it. Oh, okay. Don Lemon told you that. Yeah. Well, how you know Don Lemon got it right?
Okay.
When he was CNN. CNN been lying to you for years. So when you see us, that's why our prayers are so important. Because the prayers of the righteous are justice and righteousness. If you look at these cities burning, and you see these people who allowed it to happen, the first thing you can say is, that's not God. But if you don't know God, you don't even have a gauge. Well, what's Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 say about all this stuff? Where is Galatians? You've been in church for 22 years. You understand what I'm saying? Now, one of the boys, yesterday, Josh was there. Josh, you remember what Chris said, Josh? About that, his cousin that was in church. Do you remember what he said?
Oh, yeah. They didn't even know anything about the Apostle Paul. Like, they didn't know stuff basically about the New Testament.
That's right. He said, my cousin's been in church since they popped out of their womb. He said, "Pastor Dog, I went check." He said, "I was teaching them what you told me." And they was like, "He said, man, I've been with you for 6 weeks, Pastor Dog, and what you're teaching me, they're looking at me like, where you get that from?"
That's a word. Wow. That's a word.
So I said, "Chris, you're saying people going to church, but they know nothing. Because they've been taught nothing. And they're not taking, and guess what? They're not taking the initiative like the Bereans to study the word for themselves. To see if what he's given me is the word of God." Huh? So you got believers, can I tell you this? Who think they're believers. You can't be a believer if you don't know the word. If you don't know the doctrine of soteriology, you can't be saved. You don't know Jesus died for you and what he did for you on the cross. What are you wrapping your faith around? You don't know who he is. You don't know what he's done for you. You will miss him. Because faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by the
word of God.
So you don't hear anything about Jesus. What you hear about? Pick them up and put them down. What you learn today? How to pick them up and put them down.
Don't even say nothing. They just
dance. Yeah, we was bucking today. Bucking was bucking. We was dancing. So, and the enemy laughs. "I don't care about you coming to church and doing all that. Keep it on. I ain't got to worry about that group of them right there. They're going straight to hell." Because once saved, always saved, you can't find that in the Bible.
So can I.
Came from a Calvinistic perspective. John Calvin came up with that theology, which does not line up with the Word of God. So people will take things, and that was done in the 15th century, and they still believe in that stuff. When the Word of God does not. So we got to understand. Say, understand. God's technology.
that he's given us tools to promote development for use and information exchange. Say exchange. So we can apply this. So we can make what? Our lives easier and solve the problems of mankind. That's what God sent you here to do. Finish up, Rachel. Finish up. Finish that up. Because, see, Josh or Achilles, what you do in school matters to God. What Delisha does matters to God. What I do matters to God. Because everything you do is supposed to bring God honor. If I go and ask people who are with you every day and say, is she a Christian? And they say, no, you've dishonored yourself and you've dishonored your king. It's just that simple. If nobody knows you're a believer, you're a closet unbeliever. Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. He said, actually, that's not true. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I won't even acknowledge you before my Father. Do you know him, son? I never seen him. But we was in church. I never knew you. We have no relationship. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember you even calling my name. Mm-hmm. And when you called me, it was only for you. You follow me. So God says, understand my word. It is the technology that you need to succeed. Technological systems. Say systems. God reveals, say systems. God reveals systems. I love this. When we come in here, when I learned this about 30 some years ago, it blew my mind. God says, Reggie, break down praise. Start reading. He said, wait a minute, this is more, these are several words. In the Hebrew language, that represents praise. But they incorporate everything we do in the house. Say, incorporates everything we do in the house. One word for praise is halal, which means to boast, to brag, to rave. Halal. That's where we get the word hallelujah. H-A-L-L-E-L. Hal-al. Al, H-A-L-L, E-L. L is God. But it means to boast, to brag, to rave about. Who boasts and brags and raves? Cheerleaders. Am I making a point now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when we come into church, we should be cheerleaders for the Father. When Katrina be like, my God is an awesome God, she'll be sweating and sick. She's cheerleading for the Father. You just, your spiritual pom-poms is your hands. You got to see the technology. See, the devil takes what's already in the technology of heaven and he fluffs it up and puts it in front of football players. And you start worshiping the creation more than the creator.
Wow, that's good.
Said, brave about God, even to the point of appearing foolish. I got my heels on, I got my hat on, I can't be doing that. Well, you should be here. You came here for sure. You came here to be seen. You ain't come here to praise God. You came here to be seen. Child, I ain't gonna be sweating. Go home. You can mess up the atmosphere.
Okay.
But your undignified self, like Michael. Got on David because David danced out of the club. That you, that was so unbecoming of a king. Yeah. You embarrassed us. And the Bible says David left her. And guess what? She was barren. Never had a child. And for a woman not having a child back in those days, that was a curse.
She was mad anyway.
That's why she got cursed, because she didn't love God. She loved the position. She didn't love the Father. Psalms chapter 63, that's where you can see that, that word halal. The other was Yada. Yada. Y-A-D-A-H. Yada. 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 We're still talking about a doctor, y'all.
Amen.
Yada. Mm-hmm. Not Yabba Dabba Do. Guess what Yada means? Means to worship with hands extended. A sign of surrender. Worship with extended hands. Psalm 134, 2. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verses 1 through 21. This is praise, y'all. All these words that mean praise. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verses 1 through 21.
And then you said Psalms for the first
134, one. Verse number 2. And if you want another one, Nehemiah, chapter 8, verse number 6. Nehemiah. Or 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Even Barack Obama, he don't miss it. Barack is in the Bible. It means praise. Barack, hallelujah, Shabbat, praise the Lord. You ever heard that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was in my head.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally different.
And Shabbat means to address with a loud voice and a loud tone. Shabbat, S-H-A. B-A-C-A. So the church ain't supposed to be quiet doing praise and worship. Nope. Katrina ain't supposed to be the only one being loud up in here.
Amen.
Mm. You follow me? Cheerleaders, sorry cheerleaders.
Sit down.
Yeah, the cute ones be standing up like this right here. Sit your butt down. You need somebody to make some noise. Like my wife, Raven Rachel, was playing basketball. She said, girl, what them chilies do? Now, they see the girls right there, them chilies right there. I can hear my mom over here.
So I
told
her after the game, I
them little cute things down there.
You want stomach? You need some ice for your
baby? Sisters over there stuffing hard. Barak means to suggest, it means to denote blessing. Barak means to denote blessing. It suggests a transcendent privilege of blessing God. You see this as a privilege. Praising God is a privilege, and you recognize it as such.
What does that mean again?
Barak. It means, glory to God, you see praising God as a privilege. It's a privilege to bless the Lord. A privilege to bless the Lord. Because guess what it is? To bless the Lord. It's not that everybody don't have access to the privilege, they don't want it. They don't want it.
Is that Barak with a C-H at the end or N?
Okay. All these words in the Hebrew mean praise. Tehillah, T-E-H-I-L-L-A-H, Tehillah, T-E-H-I-L-L-A-H, and it means to sing or to laud. Laud means to lift high. That's where you get the word applaud. Mm-hmm. Just be clapping your hands and acknowledging someone. Laud. L-A-U-D. L-A-U-D. Mm-hmm. It involves music and singing. So where there's tehillah, you have music and singing. If y'all want a scripture reference for that, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 21. Deuteronomy. Did I say chapter 10?
You said
11. Yeah, I sure did. I'm looking at the 10, I'm saying 11. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 21. My mind's someplace else, y'all. Psalm 22, verse number 3. For Tehillah. Verse number 3. Exodus chapter 15, verse number 2, and Isaiah 61, verse 3. Now read to me the ones that you have currently.
Aloud means to boast, to brag, and to rave about, even to the point of appearing foolish. Psalm 63. Yada, worship with hands extended. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1 through 21. Nehemiah 8, 6. Psalms 134, 2. I think it's Shabbat. Barak, to denote blessings, a privilege to bless God.
That's Psalm 72, 15.
And Tehillah, to sing or to laud, clap, involves music and singing.
Deuteronomy 10, 21. Should have one more. Okay. Shabbat.
Oh, that's the one I didn't
hear.
Right.
Shabbat.
Yeah.
To address in a loud voice and a loud tone. So it'd be loud. Don't nobody like choir chilies. Sit your butt down. S-H-A-B-A-C-H. Shabbat. Hallelujah. Barak. Praise the Lord. Shabbat. Hallelujah. Barak. Praise the Lord. Tehillah. That's Byron Cage.
Yeah, Toda too, but I
don't know. Toda. I haven't given you Toda. Toda. T-O-D-A-H. Toda. T-O-D-A-H. It means to show. It means to shout or to address with a loud voice. To shout or to address with a loud voice. It includes gratitude, attitude for gratitude. God's deliverance, even while still in need. That means I need to shut it down, my baby. My time is up.
I'm sorry.
Hurry, God. Toda. You got, and that's Psalms 56, verse 1 through 2. Psalms 56, 1 through 2. And the final one is Zamar. Z-A-M-A-R. Go name your child, Zamar.
Do not.
Go ahead.
You
say I
no.
Said go ahead. I'm joking.
So no.
And this is what David did with song. With it. See, this is what, for years, people in black churches particularly, we didn't have any instrument other than piano or the Hammond organ. When Andre Crouch them started breaking loose with them guitars, with them trumpets, and start bringing that new sound in, people was having a tizzy fit. I know I was about Achilles' age when his music was coming out, and we loved it. Progressive, should I say? See, there's a term for progressive. They messed up progressive with these, with this, this. What they call them progressives today are Marxists. Progressive means to move to new levels of real understanding and knowledge.
That's right.
To progressively walk in the truth, say truth, and not be stuck. You follow me? A progressive folk, a progressive people, they move with the Spirit of God.
Amen, that's right.
Non-progressive folks stick with their tradition. I ain't changing, I've done this all my life. My mama did it, my uncle did it, my granddaddy did it. I ain't don't do nothing different.
You dry.
And they don't do nothing different. They look just like them. And they don't get any more than they got. Follow
what is the purpose of us doing this? Why are we doing this?
It's the definition of irrationality. Doing the same thing but expecting a different result.
Oh, insanity.
So what is a monument? It's a monument. Oh, right, yeah, that, we need that definition.
It's what the strings of an instrument. So that's what David did, was to pluck the strings of an instrument. Speaks of rejoicing, to sing praise, or to touch the strings. So the strings are a form of praise.
Amen.
And that is found in Psalms 18, verses 1 through 3. Nehemiah, chapters 8, verse 10. Psalms chapter 18, verses 46 through 50. Psalms chapter 68, verses 1 through 4. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19.
What was Nehemiah?
8:10. Chapter 8, verse 10.
Nehemiah 18, chapter 18. No. Nehemiah 8. Chapter 8, verse
8.
Number 10.
What was the definition?
Now, what you're going to see when you open your Bibles, you'll see praise. But these words are supposed to be put where you see praise. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
All right.
So when I look at it, it's really going to be praise, going to be in italics. Right. These are the Bible that I have.
If you've got an exhaustive Bible, exhaustive concordance, they'll probably break it down. You could probably go into your index.
Okay.
If not, you can go to I would acknowledge all of you to go buy you a Strong's Concordance. Use one or whatever. Get your Strong's Concordance, and that's where all of this comes from. Strong's Concordance has Hebrew words, which are all Old Testament, and praise is, these words are all Hebrew. They're not Greek, they're Hebrew words, you follow me? And if you're going to the New Testament, it's gonna be a Greek word, you follow me? It's gonna be a Greek word. But remember now, the Greeks translated Old Testament from Hebrew to Greek. And a lot of the New Testament words are from the Hebrew background. Because remember, although Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is speaking of Jesus, the New Testament doesn't become the New Testament until Jesus is resurrected. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are actually Old Testament texts. You follow that? Though they're put in a New Covenant section of the Bible.
It's a pretext.
You follow me? Because they all went back, what? They took you back to the Old to bring you to the what? The manifestation of what the Old was talking about. Which is Jesus.
I need the scripture again. Ephesians 5:19.
For Samar?
Samar, yeah.
Verse 19.
And then, what was that? Isaiah 68 something?
68 verses 1 through 4.
What was it? You said to pluck the string of an instrument. I didn't get the latter part.
To pluck the string of an instrument. Mm-hmm. It also speaks of rejoicing, to sing praise, or to touch the strings. So it's an accompaniment. So when you are coming in, we're doing that already, but now you understand the technology of what you're doing. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we do this? Why do we Zamar God? Why do we Todah God? Why do we Tehillah God? You follow me? Why do we Yadah God? Why do we Todah God? Why do we do these things? Why do we Zamar God? You follow me? Because that is the way God says you praise me.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Then, that is the means and methods. It means and methods.
Or the
applied practicality. Knowledge applied what? Practically. Science or what? Knowledge applied practically. There's a knowledge. What's the knowledge? Zamar. What's the knowledge? Todah. What's the knowledge? Tehillah. What's the knowledge? You follow what I'm saying? Zamar. That's the knowledge. Okay? The knowledge applied brings the Father down. Because I have the praises of my people. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for praise.
You follow that? So practically applying the knowledge brings the benefit or the result. What's the result? God showing up. God can't come until you what? Apply the what? The knowledge. David says in the Psalms, he says, everything that hath breath, praise ye the Lord. You follow what I'm saying? Hmm? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So you come into the presence of the Lord. Say, we're still talking about doctrine. But doctrine is giving us what? The knowledge to apply practically to solve a problem. If God ain't with us, that's a problem. If you need God and you don't know how to tap into God, that's a problem. Huh? Because that means devil whooping you in some way and you need to get relief. All right? So the technology applied is the Word of God, applying the Word of God so I can what? Solve my problems and invent useful tools or what? Solutions. God will bring the solution when he's in your presence. You see what I'm saying? You follow that? And it says, in singing, we'll continue this because there's a lot to go. It says, in singing, when you sing, all of these, your brain is active. It lights up. Say, all of your centers. When you start singing, they have these probes in your brain. When that thing registers on the screen of the computer, everything in your brain lights up. You have five lobes. Frontal lobe, parietal lobes, occipital lobe, the temporal lobe, the brain stem. The frontal lobe, that's where you think. That's your planning, your problem solving, your behavior control, your decision making. Your parietal lobe, that promotes perception, where you classify things, spelling, knowledge of numbers, visual spatial processing, sensory input. Say input.
Input.
Say output.
Output.
I put that down here. Y'all can read this because you took pictures of it. Whatever goes in you, gonna come out of you. You understand what I'm saying? And whatever comes in will transform you, but it will always control you. Say self-control.
Self-control.
Holy Spirit teach you how to self. Say control self.
Control self.
Find what I'm saying? The occipital lobe, that promotes vision, visual processing. Then it says the brainstem, which regulates body temperature. When you start praising, whatever your body temperature.
You sweat.
What's sweat good for? Releasing toxins.
Amen.
Getting dirt out of your system. Releasing stress. Because when you start praising God and moving, guess what happens? There is a hormone that's released. And that hormone brings joy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, God created your body. And certain activities will operate when you walk the technology out. You ain't supposed to be. See, you can start this way, but you ain't supposed to end this way. You can start praising God and be like. But after a while, say after a while. You can praise all day.
Right.
You done got healed. You done got in shape praising the Lord. You understand? But people come in here cute, say cute.
That's stiff.
Because you stiff, you got them stews on you. You can't walk like you want to.
Be like Cinderella sisters.
You can't flow with all that stuff going on. You know what I'm saying? What's that? My white brothers and sisters, they be shoes off and everything. At first I came and said, but those people are getting free.
Right.
Amen. Because they ain't coming out here to what? For no fashion show.
It's the Lord.
Because they understand the? I inhabit the what?
The praises of my people.
And receive the benefits thereof. So when I'm praising God and I'm singing, guess what? My brain activity is what? Says here, singing brings all lobes, frontal, parietal, occipital, temporal, cerebellum, and brainstem of your brain into proper alignment. Nothing but the word you're singing is allowed inside. So the doctor, it's a doctor.
Singing is allowed inside.
Nothing that is allowed but the singing. Let me give you a perfect example of how this works. Can I give you a practical, technical example? You go into the mall. Or you go into the grocery store. They sing in Marvin Gaye. You walk out of the store and you sing in Marvin Gaye.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
What's going on? Going there and the OJ's playing. You ain't thinking, you just buying your clothes. You walking out of the store singing.
They smiling in your face.
It's done what? Because all of your front lobes are activated. See, marketers understand. That's why you go in every store you go into. Why is music playing?
keep you satisfied and happy.
Because the music determines and it creates an atmosphere for you. It's usually soothing because they don't want you to. You don't usually go to a store and you got rock music. Nah, you ain't going up in there because it don't calm you. So you don't see, you don't, you tell me you've been in the store that's got that rock, that clang, clang, clang going on? No, because that's not the what?
That's
not the purpose. So the world knows God's technology better than the church.
Break that down.
You got people come to church and they're like,
it's so good.
You got some folks, we know, honey, you know this, they will wait praise and worship out and then come into church.
Yes, they map it out.
I'm talking about in spirit-filled, charismatic churches.
Shoot,
people standing outside until praise and worship is over because they say all we need is the word. You don't know the technology of heaven.
Wow. That's real.
I ain't trying.
And them ones always having problems, always in line for counseling.
Because
they don't want the whole council.
Oh, God.
They only want what they want. So the word of God is solution based. It's been given to us to bring results. And we'll have results when we apply the whole word.
Amen.
Can I get some out of this?